Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Welcome back to another episode of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. And this week, I have Dr. David Stern from north of Baltimore, Maryland, here to talk about implementing payment plans in his office. David reached out to me recently and talked about the success that he's having with payment plans after listening to one of my podcasts on the Dental Hacks Nation. And so I wanted to bring him on to talk about how, what made him bring payment plans on board, exactly what he's doing with it, and the outcomes and positives that he's seen, and how it's changed his practice. So I know you want to listen this week to our podcast with Dr. David Stern talking about in-office payment plans.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to our episode. And today we have Dr. David Stern, who won't tell me what city he's from, just keeps calling it north of Baltimore. I don't think David wants to tell us where he's from. So, David, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's called Jarrettsville. It's a very small town.
Like, what, define small.
I think the last census had it at a little under 2,000 people.
Wow, let's talk about what made you go to a small town like that?
Well, the practice that was for sale, I fell in love with that. And also, there were just not that many people around there. So it has challenges that I don't have a huge population to draw from. But it's nice that I'm one of very few games in town.
So, okay. So I would assume, because I grew up in a relatively small town, about 6,000-8,000 people. But while that town may be small, I assume the catch area probably extends 20-30 miles and probably gets out to about 10 to 20,000 people.
So north, northeast and northwest, there's nobody, like you said, for like 20-30 miles.
When you say nobody, you're talking about dentists.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
But they're also, all those places are not super populated either. You know, 5,000 is the biggest area. But yeah, probably like 10 to 20,000 people in those surrounding areas.
I hear from so many young dentists that there aren't options to own, there aren't options to buy, they can't afford to buy. And what I always hear is they're constantly looking to be in the quote unquote city. And if you take any major city and you draw a line 45 minutes to an hour outside of that city, and you stay outside of that part of it, you can do unbelievably well. And we're just not... More and more people aren't looking at small towns as an option. And they have the belief that small town dentistry is lesser dentistry, or people don't value or afford or want more complicated and quote unquote sexy type procedures.
So I'll say two things to that. First of all, for me, it's a little bit easier to go to the small town. One, because, you know, thankfully I'm married and I have two small kids. So it's not like I'm going out on the town every night.
Right.
So in that sense, like when I go out, you know, me and my wife will go out for dinner, or, but usually when I'm done at the office, like I just want to come home and play with my kids.
Right.
So I do have that advantage that I don't necessarily have to feel like I need to be part of it.
So if you're a single guy out of school, a single girl out of school, it may not be the right lifestyle. It could
be a little bit harder to go to a small town. Yeah. But okay. Like you're saying, but into what you're saying, you know, it's definitely not the case that people in small towns don't want, like you were calling, get the sexier dentistry. Like that's definitely not the case.
Yeah. And that's my point. I think there's a city here called Greenville, North Carolina, where it's harder to get associates, harder for people to want to move there, but it's such a great place to be in practice. And I have friends that are there and their fees are higher, their team members' costs are lower, the rent is lower, and they do the same procedures we're doing. And in fact, they do more of them. And I wish more people would look at small town dentistry. So that's awesome. Well, our main focus today is to talk about payment plans and in-house payment plans. I don't like to use the word financing because we're not really financing patients. That is a lending term where we actually charge interest, which I am against dental practices directly themselves charging interest because of legal issues. But David had reached out to me just talking about the success we're having with payment plans, and I wanted to bring him on and talk about that. So here are the questions I wrote down, and I haven't talked to you about it in advance. I want to talk about how we learned about it, what hesitations you had, what challenges you faced, and what outcomes we had in the practice. So I want to focus on, you know, kind of those four things and have a good back and forth discussion. And so let's start from there. So how did you learn about payment plans? And let's go from there.
So I learned about payment plans in, I think it was either October or November of 2015.
Okay.
I heard your podcast. I heard you being interviewed, I think, on the Dental Hacks app.
Probably the Dental Hacks, yeah. They're the only ones that'll have me on.
And you were talking about it there with them. And I was, at that point, in either October or November, I was in the process of buying this practice. And
so where were you then? What were you, an associate somewhere?
Yeah, I was an associate, yep.
In the same practice that you bought?
No. Okay. A totally separate practice.
Okay.
And I thought this was, you know, I didn't see why everybody didn't do this. And so that was the first time I'd heard about it. And then I always kept in the back of my mind until when I bought the practice. We did a good number of changes in the office, but that was one of the ones that I actually waited probably about 4 to 8 months to start. But once we did, then we really started getting rolling with it.
Okay. And talk to us about that. I mean, why do you say you don't understand why everybody doesn't do it? Give the audience some idea of why it seems so logical to you.
Sure. I mean, it's funny just thinking about why anyone wouldn't understand it. But anyway, so I'll give you two examples. The first example is I had a young woman who was in our office, I think on Monday, and she hadn't been to the dentist in a number of years, and she needed nothing serious, probably 5 or 6 fillings, a debridement, comp exam, like all whatever, normal stuff.
But it adds up to a lot of money, by the way.
Right. So she didn't have any insurance. So we do have like our in-office savings plan, like a membership plan. But even with that, everything would have been around $1,500 or $1,600. So for her, there's no way she told me in the beginning, like, you know, I don't have a lot of money. I know I need some work. Like, can you work with us? So, I mean, that payment's like $110 a month or something for 12 months. And she said, yeah, I can for sure do that. So now instead of having to schedule one filling and wasting my time doing one filling at a time every 2 months for her to get paid off, we can just do all of them in one appointment, be totally done with it. It's better for her. It's better for us. And there's just, I don't know, it's just a no-brainer. And then that's an easy case. And then, you know, some of the bigger cases, you know, we have, you know, 4, 6, 8 veneers or maybe a couple implants or something like that. Most people and probably even most dentists, you know, wouldn't be able to shell out $10,000 if they asked, you know, all at once. So instead we take, depending on the patient, you know, I know your rules were kind of a little bit different. We've been kind of stretching out a little bit more.
Of course. I want to come back to that. I assume you didn't start that way. You started in a more safe and probably more conservative route. And as you saw some of the success with it, then you started extending it out a little bit.
That's pretty, pretty accurate. Yeah, we started it in April, but we didn't really start it until August of 2016. Okay. And yeah, I mean, at first it was like 3 months, then we did six. And then I just said, why are we not doing longer than this? So then we switched it to 12. And, you know, even on some of the patients, we're even out like 24, 36 months.
Wow. All right. So I want to take a step back for a second. And for those listening, maybe this is the first time they're listening, the first time they've heard about the payment plans. And this is not something I invented. Certainly, I've learned this over the years from multiple people. It's just that, you know, I'm trying to become a big advocate for it. And what I'm talking about is the practice themselves becoming the quote-unquote bank. And what I believe dentistry is it's almost 2020. It's 2018. It's halfway through 2018. And we have to do business differently than the way we did it in 1990, 2000, even the early 2010s. And what we have to do is we have to be more patient-centric, making patients afford treatment better. And one of the challenges that I was facing, and I know many dentists, including yourself, are facing, is how do we do more dentistry on the single patient at the same time so that we're not really becoming roller skates where we're just turning over patients all the time? And part of that is money. Okay, so how can we make it more affordable for patients? And what we did in our practice probably about 5 years ago now, maybe even a little bit more, is we started implementing in-office payment plans where there is zero interest, only no interest to avoid banking laws, where we allowed patients to give a down payment, and then they would make equal payments over 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, whatever number of months they wanted to do it with. And we used an automated system with a credit card on file and basically just our credit card processor. So that way we weren't responsible for remembering to run it, and we weren't waiting for patients to provide checks to us. So if the listeners want to learn more about the payment plans and the premise behind it, that I would encourage them to go on our website, tbonespeaks.com, and listen to some of the past episodes about payment plans where we were interviewed by the hacks. And then you can learn more about it that way. But I want to focus now on the implementation side of it with Dr. Stern here. Okay, so now you heard about it through one of my programs. You were in a position where you couldn't implement it because you were a employee or an associate in a practice. Did you try to implement it in that practice? Did you go to your owner and say, hey, this would be a good idea for us?
No, because at that point I was already...
You were checked out.
We had signed the LOI. We were just kind of going back and forth on the purchase agreement.
Okay. I want to come back to the difference in the associate in terms of having this. Okay. So now let's start about this. What were the hesitations that you, your team members had when you first came to them and said, hey, I want to implement this? Because it's not like you're starting from scratch. You're taking over another practice. So certainly there are built-in biases and the way we've always done it type of conversations.
There was the way we always done it. Like, this doesn't, you know, and then there's also, how do we know we're going to get paid? Then there's, you know, well, this is just another thing that we have to learn. How do I actually set this up? How do we know what's actually going through? All the normal stuff, I think, that you would hear when you're implementing changes, and especially kind of a big change like this. But I have to give my team credit because they were really good with it. They said, look, if this is something you want to do, we're going to do it. You just have to bear with us when we make some mistakes on it, which I said that was reasonable. Honestly, at this point, they all love it, especially the person who works in the front office, because she sends out significantly less bills each month. She doesn't have to worry about taking payment at the time of service for a lot of the patients. She also doesn't have to hound people, like calling them and kind of just, it's just annoying to have to chase after people for money.
Isn't it amazing? I'm laughing because all of these things that you say are saying, I tell people they're true, and sometimes they don't believe me. They're like, I'm like, and part of it is you don't even recognize or realize the benefits of having something so friendly for your patients and friendly to you that your team members see these benefits, but they don't see them until they implement it.
Honestly, and some of my team members, even now, you know, our back office, they start talking to patients about, look, I know this crown is going to be expensive, but Dr. Stern's, he's amazing with the financing. You know, we can get down to payments that will make it work for you. Like, you don't worry about it. Like, we can do this. And that's even before I step in the room. So, right. I mean,
that's even better.
Right. Everything about it is, it's just great. It's been great for our office. Great for the patients. It's great for us. Yeah.
Okay. And what challenges have you faced in implementing this?
So the biggest challenge actually was me, just my mindset on it, that I didn't care how the patient was going to take care of it as long as there was a agreement. Like in the beginning, I didn't really offer it to everybody because I was still a little bit nervous that the cards wouldn't go through, decline, you know, there was a catch or something that it wasn't going to work. So I would offer the regular stuff, you know, 50% now, 50% later, a third, or something like that. But once I started seeing that it was really just how successful it was, then I just, that's the first thing that I offer to patients. Like we barely even talk about a general fee. We more just talk about, look, you know, for all this, I think the monthly payment will be around this much, you know,
$100, $200, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And does that work within your budget? And if they say yes, so then we hand them off and, you know, they are able to take care of the rest of it. But now that's my go-to. That's the first thing I offer, as opposed to before, where I was more nervous about how it was going to be taken care of.
Do you have a financial menu in place where when you or your team are presenting treatment and payment plans, it's a menu where patients can choose what they want?
So kind of, it's more just we have like on the top, it'll say like, you know, all of our financial rules and stuff. And then on the bottom, it'll say, you know, this is going to estimated treatment. So it'll be like 3 fillings, 1 crown, 1 implant and a denture. Something like that. No, like 52, 10 or 24,
right, no, of
course. Not the EagleSoft printout, like our own printout.
Right.
And then underneath it'll say estimated total. If the patient has insurance, it'll say estimated insurance savings. And then on the bottom, it'll say estimated patient total. And then it'll give them, you know, a couple different options of, you know, pay up front, 3% discount.
So you have a menu in a sense then. Okay.
Up to 36 months, you know, and whatever the numbers are.
Okay. All right. And, okay. So while you made mention to the success of it. So let's talk about this. The number one fear most people have is, let me back up for a second. Okay. What I would say to people listening and anybody else is, you don't need to implement this if your schedule is booked, you're doing the type of dentistry you want, and your patients are paying you up front. Don't screw with success, okay? But if you have empty chair time, or you're doing a lot of single tooth dentistry when you could be doing multiple tooth dentistry, and or your patients aren't saying yes to complete treatment, then this is something that fits right down your alley to be able to implement in your office. Now,
can I tell you something about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of multi-tooth, so especially for people that have in-office milling, like E4D, CAT, CIRAC, whatever it is. I mean, this is
I'm pretty much just CIRAC, but that's okay.
It's made for this. It's made for this because now when I have a patient who needs a crown, we do the crown, but then there's also 3 or 4 fillings scattered throughout the mouth. So while the crown is milling, you know, we're still going.
Yeah.
We're knocking them all out for them. So not only do they save multiple visits, but we can, you know, it's much more productive for me to, instead of having to either go see another patient or sit around for while it's milling. And it's, yeah, everything about it, it just makes so much sense.
Yeah. It's amazing. The benefits you see. Okay. So now let's talk about outcomes. So we're going to talk about success. So,
yeah, sure.
Talk to us. Number one fear that everybody has, besides that every guru out there tells you not to do something like this, which I disagree with, by the way, obviously. But the number one thing I hear from people is, well, my patients are going to get the work done and not pay. Can you speak to us about that? What has been your experience?
Okay. So I did a little homework beforehand and I wrote down, you want all the numbers for us?
Whatever you're willing to share. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm an open book. That's fine. Okay. So we started, like I said, in April of 2016, but we really didn't get started till August of 2016. So far from just the payment plans, not including any down payments or insurance payments on that, So in that time, we've collected a little short of $130,000.
Okay, so that, but real quick, so that probably equates, if I'm using you're in network.
We're in network with two providers. Yeah.
Okay, great. So I can tell you roughly what that equates to is about $450,000 in dentistry.
That's probably pretty close.
Yeah, but because you're talking about the payment plans and not just the down payment and then the insurance portion. So really, at the end of the day, you're only typically on average, you're only financing payment planning out about 25% to 40% of the treatment.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I mean, we actually, a lot of times we have patients on our in-office savings plan. Mm-hmm. They don't get any insurance benefit, but I would guess, I don't know if it's 400 or 450. It's probably closer to 300 or 350, but some are in that range. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So nonetheless, it's not just the dollars that you collected.
No,
it's the dentistry that you're doing. Okay. Let me let you keep going. So you've collected about 130K from just the payment portion of it.
Yep. We have defaulted on $198.
Okay. $200 basically.
Well, 198.
That's $200.
I still remember who it was, and I even remember that we it was for he had it was a young kid. He had bombed out number one and number two, and he really just wanted number two out. So I said, you know, can you make a monthly payment on this? He said, yeah. So I took both of them out. So it didn't take us more time, but it was
good for you.
So anyway, so we've defaulted on a negligible amount.
And you wouldn't say your patients are rich, would you?
No, they're not any richer or poorer than average people.
Right. And so they have credit cards, they have the intention to pay, they want to do dentistry. And would you say that this allows you to do that a lot of these people wouldn't have done the dentistry you asked them to do?
100%, not even a question. I mean, we're doing more implants, cosmetic procedures. You know what this is great for actually? We found this is great for sleep, for sleep apnea.
Talk to us about that.
Well, because although we do bill, we do use an outside medical billing service, there is still patients that have copays and will still owe money on this. And since the medical billing takes so long, we like to set something up beforehand. So that way everything's covered. And if they do get a check from medical, great, and we'll apply it to the payment plan. But what we do is, so we charge $2,600 for the appliances.
Good for you.
And what was that?
Good for you.
But what we do is we ask the patient to put $600 down, in the beginning, when we take the impressions to have the appliance made, and then it's $166 a month for 12 months and then it's paid off instead of asking them to put down the entire thing at once. And if the insurance or when the insurance will kick in, you know, $1,000, $1,500, whatever it is, then the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months, whatever it is, we just knock it off the payment plan. They don't have to pay that anymore. So it's been wonderful for that.
David, do you realize how ahead of the curve you are in this?
So apparently I am, but I don't understand why. Because it's so simple. Everybody wants it. As soon as I say, also, here's the other thing. Although we were talking before about competition between other dentists, like I'm not in competition with any other dentist, even if there was one that opened up right next door to me. Like that's not my competition. My competition is Amazon, right? My competition is the new iPhone or a tablet or something like that. And everywhere they go, patients see 12 months interest-free.
Right.
So why am I asking them to do what if they go to the big box store to buy a new flat screen TV or a dining room set or a sofa or anything like that? Like they're getting 12 months interest everywhere. So why should I be any different?
It's called practicing in what the consumer of today is paying. You know, listen, in the 70s and 80s, people didn't finance things outside of their houses and their cars. But in the 2018 era, there's very little they don't finance out. And when I say finance, that's with or without interest at the end of the day. So we have to change.
Right now, we have about $13,000 coming in a month, which is not a huge number. It's not covering it, but it's not nothing. And it's, you know, at this point, it's pretty significant for us. I can tell you also the effect on our AR is incredible. The way we do it in our office, we bill out our UCR codes. So like we're a network with Delta, so we don't bill out the Delta fee. We bill out our own fee.
Right.
So our total AR right now is $140,000. Okay.
Okay.
And that includes our contracts. So we do about, you know, on that kind of, on just gross production, we probably, depending on the month, between 90 and 115. Okay.
Okay.
Our current AR, you know, 0 to 30, current is $7,200. Our 30 days is $2,800. Our 60 days is $2,100. Our 90 days is actually negative. Like, we owe people money for 90 days, and that's my fault. and we have like almost $130,000 worth of contracts. Oh. So you can imagine how good that makes my front office feel, because, you know, they're doing a phenomenal job on our AR, and that's not something I worry about, like, ever.
But I wanted to clarify a couple of things on AR for the audience. Is I look at AR, at least the way we're tracking AR in our practice, are three types of AR. We have what we call real patient AR. In other words, people that actually literally owe us money that we don't have arrangements for. We track insurance AR. That's what the insurance companies owe us. And then we track our payment plan AR. And technically, patients owe us that money, but we have an agreement in place, and then we're working that down. So I separate the payment plan AR from real patient AR so that I know what we have outstanding within the practice.
Right. Yeah. So our contract AR is like 130.
Yeah, and our essentially, total AR is like, it's essentially all of your AR. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, that's, I know a lot of people, or I've heard people who say that, like, AR is a stressful for them because, you know, it gets to 90 days and they're never going to collect it, or even the 60 days, like, their front office is hounding these people and, like, when are they going to come back and when are they going to pay us? But, like, that's not something we have to worry about at our office.
Well, the reason that happens, quite frankly, is they missed a fundamental concept, and that's making firm financial arrangements. See, all of this for me all started from the concept of firm financial arrangements. We don't believe in doing work on people until we have an agreement in place. That doesn't mean they have to pay me up front. We just have to make sure we have an agreement in place. And another side benefit that we didn't mention, and I'd love to get your take on this, is in our office, we don't actually schedule the appointment for the patient until we take their down payment. So now our patients have prepaid to a certain degree for their actual appointment.
So, in the beginning, I was doing that much more. I've been kind of getting a little bit lax with that.
Don't get lax with it, man.
Well, especially for patients that have dental insurance, that right. I know we're going to get a payment from their dental insurance on this. So I'll say, okay, your dental insurance will be your down payment, and then your first payment will be due that month, but you can just pay that. But even with some of the other people, like, we'll still set up their financial arrangements before their first appointment, but they might not make a payment before their first appointment. So, like, that patient I was telling you about before, you know, with the fillings and the debridement and stuff like that. So for someone like her, I'm probably not going to make her put a down payment down, except maybe her first month's payment.
I got you.
The reason being because, you know, it's my chair time, right? You know, for four fillings, maybe an hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half, whatever it is. And my overhead, at least for supplies, a couple of carpools of composite, you know, whatever it is. So I don't know. For her, I'd rather her be comfortable and get the treatment done and have that set up in place. And that first month, okay, so that first month's payment will probably cover the carpools of composite.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Yeah, you know what I love about what you're saying and what you're doing, while I may not agree with everything that you're doing, is that you've taken a concept and you've seen the value in it, you're implementing it, you're doing it, and you're making it your own. In other words, what fits around your business model and what makes you happy. And to me, that's what all of this stuff is about. I don't ever want anybody to come hear me or hear anybody else and say, I've got to do it that way, because that's not right. What you got to do is you got to take some of that and you've got to keep the fundamentals in place, the concepts in place, and then you've got to fit the personality of your practice and the personality of your style. And you've done that unbelievably well, David, unbelievably well. That's so awesome. So what would you say to other people hesitating about this?
Stop hesitating. Just do it. There's nothing more simple to do. I mean, you just have to do it at this point.
So would you say, since you put this in, I mean, I'm sure this isn't the number one reason that your practices become successful compared to what you bought it at, but I'm sure having firm financial arrangements. What kind of dentistry are you doing in a rural practice? I mean, you're doing sleep, so I heard that. I heard you're doing quadrant dentistry. You're doing CEREC. You're doing cone beam. Are you doing implants?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're if you come to our office, you can get mostly everything. We're not doing any soft tissue or so much perio surgery, but molar endo, cosmetics, kind of oral surgery. Like, we do a lot of oral surgery.
So you're what I call the super GP.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not so super, but we do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. But when I say, but listen, when I came out of dental school, the general practitioner did fillings, crowns, bridges, complex crowns and bridges, and the occasional root canal. That's what the general dentist did.
Okay, and so we're doing more than that.
Yeah, so the modern general dentist, the 2018 general dentist, is doing those things, plus sleep, plus orthodontics, plus medium grade oral surgery, plus some soft tissue work, all of the implants and things like that. So it's a different environment today.
Yeah, correct. So we're able to do all that stuff even though we are more in a rural setting.
Well, Davey, you got any last minute questions for us before we wrap this up? We're hitting time is what they're telling me. It seems to have gone pretty quick.
Do you mind if I ask you a couple questions?
Go for it. Absolutely.
Okay. So there's one clinical question actually that I've been thinking about a while, and I know the reason why it's happening, but I'm trying to figure out if there's a way to stop it. So when, because I'm still a relatively new dentist. So when I'm prepping second molars for a crown, a lot of times, I use my reduction burrs and they bite down and it's like, I didn't reduce anything.
Right.
So I know what's happening, but is there any way to stop that from happening?
Probably not. I think the key there would be to consider using biocopy, since you have a CEREC machine. And then mill the crown back to the original height.
I never even thought about using biocopy. That's a good idea.
Because that way you can see, because as they say is, you're reseating the condyle when you get rid of the interference and the second molar, whatever that may be. So what I find is when I'm seeing that happen, and we all see that on occasion, or even more often than we'd like to admit, is I'm doing a lot more biocopy on second molars, because then I can give them back what they started with. Or if it's a case where something's not looking the way I want, you can take some composite and quickly mock it up in the mouth and verify the bite and then do your biocopy scan.
Biocopy is a great idea. I'm going to start doing that today.
All right. Question number two.
And this is actually, it's a three part, but it's all the same thing.
Okay. No problem. Let me get my notepad out. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You ready?
I'm ready.
So having been through, a little bit more dentistry and ownership and stuff like that, if you could go back and do three things differently, financially, clinically, and just life in general, are there three things, what would you have done a little bit differently that you would advise someone like me or someone else starting out?
All right, I can. The financial one is pretty crystal clear for me. I would have started saving money much earlier than I did. This year will be my 19th year out of dental school. So I didn't start saving money until about 9 or 10 years ago. I'm saying for me, like my what I call my economic freedom and flexibility fund, where I'm trying to say I can choose not to work.
I think you called that a different fund before.
Yeah, the FU fund. Yeah. So, but. I would have put money into that much sooner than I did. Okay. I can't look back with significant regrets because we've done unbelievably well. That would be one thing. I would say clinically, I wish I hadn't listened to people early in my career about the timeline of how long it takes to get into things. So when I came out of school, I told you what the five, you know, basically the 5 or 6 procedures that general dentists were doing. And I was told, or I've subscribed to the philosophy that, hey, I need to wait 10, 12 years before I get into some of the more complex work. And part of me wishes I had started my implant journey a few years earlier than I did. I waited again until about 9 or 10 years into practice before I started really doing implants and some of these other things. So I wish I had learned those things earlier. And personally, this is the area of my life where I really, really struggle. And I feel like a hypocrite sometimes because my personal life is completely out of balance. And the only saving grace I have is I tell people I have like 3 jobs. So that I'm a workaholic. But I would say on a personal note, I wish I took more regular time off earlier in my career. My wife started forcing me to take more time off and more family time off probably when our kids started school, so probably about 4, 5, 6 years ago, and they were on a school schedule. So we took, you know, we started blocking off spring break, fall break, Christmas break, you know, a little bit of time in the summer, so we had consistently scheduled vacations out. I wish I had really done that earlier in my career, where I had said, you know, in a perfect world, assuming we're economically making it and everything, I think a typical super GP, high functioning dentist should take 1 week off every 6 weeks. And so I wish I had followed that philosophy a little bit earlier in my career.
Great answers. Thank you.
That's it.
One other thing. I just wanted to thank you.
Please. Thank you.
I love the podcast. The payment plans have changed our office. You know, a lot of stuff that you say has changed how I view dentistry and how my team and stuff use it. And so I appreciate you putting out all these podcasts. It helps us a lot.
Thank you. And I appreciate you saying that. And what I appreciate more is you actually doing it. The whole point of us doing some of the things that we do is to help people. And so I appreciate that. And may you have the best of success. Dr. David Stern from north of Baltimore in a city unknown of 2,000 people. And David, I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.